Hello and welcome to our site as we return to our series Back to the Bible. And this morning we're taking a look at the book of Judges. Last Sunday we finished off a little overview of the book of Joshua. Now the book of Judges, both of these books are in the Hebrew arrangement of the scriptures among the earlier prophets. So bear that in mind as we look at Judges, that we're looking at not just history but prophetic history, his story, God's story, as he works in the life of a nation and in the lives of individuals. It's a great story, only spoiled by man's depravity. If you have a Bible handy, please turn to the book of Judges, and we're reading chapter 2 from verse 6 to verse 23. In your Bible, the book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 6, and follow the reading if you can. That's always helpful. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua, and the elders who outlived him, and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance, at Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. After the whole generation had gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up, who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. What a sad statement. The next generation grew up, knowing neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Verse 11. Then the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger, because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtaroths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them. He sold them to their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them, to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them. They were in great distress. Then the Lord raised up judges, who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshipped them. Unlike their fathers, they quickly turned from the way in which their fathers had walked, the way of obedience to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge that saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord had compassion on them as they groaned under those who oppressed and afflicted them. But when the judge died, the people returned to the ways even more corrupt than those of their fathers, following other gods and serving and worshipping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and said, "Because this nation has violated the covenant that I had laid down for their forefathers and has not listened to me, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations Joshua left when he died. I will use them to test Israel, to see whether they will keep the way of the Lord and walk in it as their forefathers had. The Lord had allowed those nations to remain. He did not drive them out at once by giving them into the hands of Joshua." Just so far, and may God bless his word to us this morning. I've entitled our message today, Judges, A Vicious Cycle, because that's exactly what it is. This book takes us through seven cycles of Israel's history after moving into Canaan, and they were all vicious, every cycle full of violence. Quite depressing, really. I mean, we ended Joshua on such a note of hope. Chapter 24 of Joshua is so full of promise, as Joshua recounts the spiritual markers, the epic events of God's dealings with his people, his thundering appeal, Now reverence the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Destroy your idols and foreign gods, and serve the Lord. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. What a difference one person can make under the mighty hand of God. Let us never forget that. So we're all set for the second generation to possess all that God has provided and experience the blessings of his reign, his kingdom, his kingship. But what do we find? A repeated cycle of disobedience, defeat, distress, and desperation. The picture that is often painted by second generation Christianity. Chapter 2 and verse 10 we read, "After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up, who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel." The Canaanites were determined to stay in the land, and the generation that followed Joshua, the Joshua generation, lost contact with the God of might and miracle, the true and living God, the Holy One of Israel, the only God there is. How often does not that happen in second and third generation Christianity? But God is good all the time, and he raises up a succession of judges to administer governance as the 12 tribes set about trying to conquer their enemies and secure their allotted inheritance in Canaan's unhappy land. And so enter Othniel, Caleb's younger brother, a man of God. You've got to love him. He went to war and conquered the king of Aram. How? The Holy Spirit of God filled him. God did it. God did it in him and then through him. And then enter Ehud. You've got to love him too. He was a left-handed leader, which was most unusual, and it was very handy, excuse the pun, when he tricked the very fat king of Moab named Eglon. Man, was there egg on his face. Ehud had his sword hidden under his pants on his right thigh, where it wasn't seen, because the fat guards who frisked him would have looked at the left leg and frisked that. And Ehud reached with his left hand when he was alone with the king, drew out his sword from his right thigh, and plunged it into the king's belly with such force that even the handle sunk into Eglon's belly and the blade came out the back of the fat guy. Just love that story. And the land had peace for the next 80 years, we read. Then came Shamgar, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel, the scripture says, and that's all the writer says about Shamgar. But when we look at Shamgar in that one little verse, we see he's a good example for us all to follow. Shamgar did what he could with what he had, where he was. He used what he had, even though it was just an ox goad, and he conquered the enemy. Well, every follower of Jesus should do what he can, what she can, with what he or she has, where she is, for the glory of God. Ah, then you'll love this. Sorry, men, but it takes a woman. Although the woman was really effective because she teamed up with the right man. The woman's name was Deborah, and the man was Barak, and they were a great combo. Deborah, the prophetess, was leading Israel, and she and Barak summoned the troops, and they took on Jabin, a king of Canaan, and Sisera, his commander, and they routed the enemy. Sisera fled the battlefield, left his chariot, and ran for his life. But enter another lady of charm and strength, whose name was Jael, a woman of God. She met the commander, invited him into her tent, gave him a drink of milk, put him to bed, covered him up with tender care, and then drove a tent peg right through his brain, right through his temples, and pinned his head to the ground. Not long after Jabin, the Canaanite king was also destroyed, and Deborah and Barak sang a song of 31 verses. It's here in the book of Judges. Deborah is described in the song as a mother in Israel. And the song has a verse that every one of us should say every day. Even if we don't say it, it's mentioned in a great Christian hymn, "March on my soul with strength." I think we should wake up every day and either sing or say that. "March on my soul, be strong. Be strong in the Lord today." Ah, then in chapter 6 we come to Gideon. What a story. The Midianite hordes were impoverishing the Israelites. Gideon has such a yellow streak down his back, he's thrashing his wheat out of sight in his winepress. And verse 12 of that particular chapter where we read about Gideon, Gideon 6 and 7 in the book of Judges, what an amazing story. The angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and says, "The Lord is with you, you mighty warrior." Gideon felt anything but. But the angel of the Lord said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel." Look at verses 15, 16, and 17. "But, Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I'm the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If I have now found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me." And you probably know the story. God graciously indulges Gideon with his lack of faith until Gideon acknowledges him as Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. And with the boldness God gives him, Gideon gets to work, summons the soldiers, ends up with 32,000 of them, which God then whittles down to just 300. The faint-hearted 22,000 are allowed to go home, and the brave 10,000 find to their dismay that they are too many for God. God chooses just 300. 300 who, at the water's edge, keep one eye on the water to quench their thirst and the other eye open to enemy attack. Those 300 were God's chosen. Well, if you thought God had an unusual strategy to conquer Jericho, what about this strategy? As you turn with me, please, to Judges chapter 7 from verse 15. Judges 7 and verse 15, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them, with torches inside. "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they'd changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets, smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands, holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon," while each man held his position around the camp. All the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords, and the army fled and was defeated. Well, how do you like that for a strategy? Then at the height of his power, can you believe it, after all God had done for Gideon and under Gideon, Gideon sinned. His heart went after the gold, and he became an idolater. As goes the leader, so goes the family, so goes the church, so goes the nation. The cycles continue. Next comes Jephthah, the Gileadite, who conquers the Amorites. Well, God did it really, and he made a foolish vow, this Jephthah, a vow which cost him his daughter's life. Don't make foolish vows before God. And then enter the strong man, Samson. I think we all know his story. Gideon's heart went after the gold. Samson's heart went after the girls. One Delilah in particular, and the rest is history. The tragedy of Samuel's sin is that he did not even know that the Lord had left him when he disobeyed the Lord and took Delilah to be his partner. The cycles of disobedience, defeat, discipline, and restoration continue through the book of Judges. The book ends with the sad result of poor governance. These sad words. What an ending, when the beginning looked so full of hope and so full of promise. Chapter 21 and verse 25 of Judges. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone for himself. A sad story of apostasy that ends in anarchy. Friends, when God is not king, the vicious cycle that we read of in the book of Judges is the sad story of the rise and fall of nations and empires. History bears that out. So what lessons can we take this morning from this vicious cycle of violence, this vicious cycle of disobedience toward God, defeat at the hand of enemies, discipline by God, and restoration to continue? The book has very telling lessons to learn. May God help us to learn them. Lessons first about righteousness, second about backsliding, turning away from God, third, religious apostasy, fourth, second generation and third generation Christianity, five, spiritual blindness, and six, restorative discipline, and seven, sovereign grace. Let me just highlight them for you. These are the lessons that we glean from the book of Judges. Lesson number one, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The Hebrew word literally means bends the neck. Sin, that which is offensive to God, when we go our own way and do our own thing and become godless, then that sin bends our neck to oppression and defeat, misery, ultimately destruction. It is righteousness that exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We see it before our eyes today, exactly that taking place, whether we look at our own country, whether we look at the United Kingdom, Europe, United States, whatever. It is righteousness that exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach. Sin bends the neck of any people. Second lesson to take away from Judges, backsliding is a slippery slope that begins with toleration. Toleration. It's almost a watchword of our society today. But Judges, the Bible, teaches us toleration ends in devastation. Conformity ends in corruption. Contamination ends in defeat. It strips you of influence, authority, and victory. Blend in with the world, the flesh, and the devil, as the Israelis did in this vicious cycle of violence that we read about in the book of Judges, and you go the same way. So does the family, so does the nation. Backsliding is a slippery slope that begins with toleration, but it ends with devastation. Number three, religious apostasy is the first move to national deterioration. We see it in the United States, United Kingdom, our own country. National deterioration results inevitably in political deterioration. It can end in civil war. It almost exterminated the tribe of Benjamin. You read that in chapter 20, verses 46 to 48 of the book of Judges. The curse of social chaos that results when the church of Jesus Christ is no longer salt and light in the nation. And then fourthly, if the next generation is not raised up for righteous and responsible leadership, the nation is doomed to failure. And see the speed at which things can deteriorate. We've seen it in the book of Judges. We are seeing it today in some of the great nations of the world that used to be called Christian nations. Lesson number five, if God and the will of God is not the focus of our vision, a strange blindness overtakes us. If God is not the focus of our vision, a strange blindness overtakes us. We no longer learn from history. We fail to see the end result of our selfishness. We're blind to the curse of spiritual and social chaos that will result from losing our true north, our trust in God. Lesson number six, just as sure as punishment and discipline will follow apostasy, so mercy and deliverance at the hand of God will follow true repentance, a turning back to God with all our heart. Deterioration is a process, dear friend. So is restoration. It doesn't happen in a day. You have to stay the course to remove the curse. Will you remember that? Those who persevere to the end will be saved. You have to stay the course to remove the curse. And then finally, God will always find a right deliverer. God will always find his man, his woman. God will always find the right person at the right moment. Usually he chooses ordinary, unworthy people to do extraordinary things. So be encouraged. You're just the right person for God to use today. Don't let your life, don't let your community, don't let your nation simply become a victim of vicious cycles of good and bad. Turn to the Lord with all your heart. Trust in him, and he will direct your paths. The path of a person, a marriage, a family, a nation. If God be for us, who can be against us? But we have to align ourselves to God and to his will. Let's join together in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for the lessons that we can glean from the vicious cycle of Israel's history, and we pray that we may learn these lessons once and for all. We pray, Father, that our families and our communities, that our nations will learn these lessons that we have gleaned from the book of Judges today, that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin bends the neck of any people, that backsliding is a slippery slope that in the end results in devastation, that religious apostasy is the first move to national deterioration, that if the next generation is not raised up for righteous and responsible leadership, the nation is doomed to failure. Help us, Lord, we pray, that we make your will our vision and our purpose in life. And thank you, Lord, that you are always merciful and gracious to help us when we turn to you in repentance and you are willing to restore us, and then help us to stay the course to remove the curse. Thank you that you always find the right person at the right time, and we pray that we may make ourselves available to you, that we would be the right people at the right time for the need of the hour. In Jesus' name we pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father, the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
O great God of highest heaven, Occupy my lowly heart. Own it all and reign supreme. Conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy war. You have loved and purchased me. Make me yours forevermore. I was blinded by my sin, had no ears to hear your voice, did not know your love within, had no taste for heaven's joys. Then your Spirit gave me life, opened up your word to me. Through the gospel of your Son, gave me endless hope and peace. Yes, you did. Me now to live a life that's dependent on your grace. Keep my heart and guard my soul from the evils that I face. You are worthy to be praised.